Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, fam. I am your host, Minister Gerald Kendrick, coming to you live from Southern California. It is 3:30, 11/12/2015. Wow, this month is already moving. We're already a quarter into the month. Time just don't stand still. Just last week, I was celebrating my 50th, praise God, and I'm happy to be here today for part four of the Power of Prayer, and most of you already know from Facebook that I have started this 30-30-30 challenge, which is spending 30 minutes minimum in prayer with God, to God, communing with God, our Heavenly Father, spending 30 minutes or more in your Word every day, and for 30 days, and it's really to build and develop and cultivate a powerful and a fervent prayer life and study life of God's Word, because they both work hand in hand. Without prayer, you cannot hear from God or you cannot receive God's Word and be effective as disciples of Jesus Christ without prayer and without knowing His Word. We must know His Word so we can know His will. We must pray His Word so we can be in His will. Amen? I like that. We must know His Word so we can know His will. We must pray fervently God's Word, and we should pray the Word of God so that we will be in His will. Many people are praying right now, and their prayers are bouncing off heaven because of the fact that we're not praying according to His will. We're not in God's Word to know His will. And it's important for us, each and every one of us, to examine ourselves to make sure that we are what God called us to be. And that's not only Bereans of the Word, but we are disciples of His, and we're doing everything decently in order. There's so many people out here that are bamboozling the body of Christ because, why? Because we're not praying. I mean, we're not praying, we're not discerning, we're not seeking God for wisdom. And if you're not in your Word, you're asking the devil to play you and use you. If you're not in His will, you're asking for the devil to abuse you. So we want to, my job as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to be, you know, transparent and to say, hey, I have a weakness in prayer and I need you to pray for me that, hey, I will be stronger in my prayer this time next year. I want to be that much further along, and I want to be effective and faithful to God's Word, because we need each other and we need the power. We need to be able to bring the forces of darkness to a standstill when the body of Christ is praying. And it's not even about 10 million, 1 billion people, but that would be great to get 1 billion Christians on the same level or same page praying for one another and lifting up the kingdom of light and righteousness. And we have to be consistent. God wants us to commune with Him, and we need to be in our Word so we can be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We resist the devil with the truth. But if you don't know the truth, you can go in prison, and guess what? You don't have nothing in your tank. You don't have nothing that you can rely back on to pray. If we ever get put in prison, which I believe, hey, the Christian church in America one day will be put under chains because of what? The gospel. Because we believe this book from Genesis to Revelation, and we're not going to compromise. False teachers, false disciples, they will sell you out. Christians will never bail out. Amen? So, on that note, let's have a quick moment of prayer, because time does move so quick, and we want to talk about prayer and get a little bit of insight and be able to, if possible, open up the lines if anybody decides to call in for a prayer. We hope to be able to pray live, but if not, hey, we just want you to know that we're standing with you in prayer. All the people that's on my Facebook page, I pray for you. I'm basically coming up before the Lord to be able to pray, bringing my prayers to the throne room of grace, and I pray on my knees, and I pray in my truck when I'm at work for 12 hours. I'm constantly lifting up the body of Christ, and I'm getting more and more stronger in my prayer. So I want you to know that I take this serious, and I believe that this can grow wings nationwide and worldwide. 30-30-30 is our commitment, 30-30-30, and it doesn't stop at 30, but it's to get people motivated and started. It gets people to ask questions. What does 30-30-30 mean? And then it also gives you an opportunity to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. and we need to be spreading the word. Amen. All right, let's go before the Lord. Father God in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for letting us recognize our own inadequacy, Lord, of our prayer life, Lord, and we need one another in this. We need one another to come up beside each other, Lord, that we can lift one another up like you did with Moses in the wilderness when they lifted Moses' arms up, Lord. We all struggle in some area, Lord, and this is my area that I struggle in. Studying your word but not having a prayer life, Lord. But I have, just in a week, Lord, it has been a discipline, and thank you, Lord God, for allowing me to grow even in the last week, Lord. I lift up my brothers and sisters to you right now who struggle in the same area. I lift up my brothers and sisters who struggle in studying the word and making time for your word. Lord God, we want to be mighty warriors. We want to be soldiers for the kingdom, Lord. And we know that we need to know your word and we need to know your will through prayer, Lord. So we ask, Father God, that you would help us in our shortcomings, Lord. Build us up in our most holy faith, Lord, as we seek prayer for all things, Lord. We want to be praying fervently, passionately. We want to have powerful prayers that reach right at your eardrum, Lord, that we want to be a part of your plan and part of your will and a part of your kingdom. We love you, Lord. We love those who love you too. And we love those who are in darkness right now, Lord. They need prayer. We pray for all those who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that today could be the day that they come out of darkness and come into the marvelous light and trust Jesus, not just as some Lord, but as Lord of their life. Not just as some God, but the true and living God who spoke it and it came to be. We love you, Lord, and we don't want anyone to perish by the way of not following Jesus, not being born again. We thank you. We praise you. May I decrease, may you increase in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. We're not going to be here long. We're going to close it down in about 30. Oh, my goodness. Okay, I thought I was knocked off. I was like, wow, what happened? Okay. Anyway, 646-668-8468. And please tell your friends if you think this is making a difference, share this with somebody. I can't guarantee I'm going to be on the same time every day because of my work schedule, but hey, it doesn't matter. You can still log on. You can listen 24/7. You can listen to all the other shows as well. And hopefully I'm more consistent on Sundays and on the weekends because I'm not working those days. But just know that, hey, this I'm serious about this. I'm passionate about this. I'm trying to get people to realize that we together as a body of Christ can move mountains. Amen? We can move mountains. So on that being said, let's go into this lesson. What is the power of prayer? The question is, the idea that power is inherent in prayer is a very popular one. According to the Bible, the power of prayer is quite simply the power of God who hears and answers prayer. Consider the following. Luke 1:37 says, "The Lord God Almighty can do all things. There is nothing impossible for him." Only thing we know that God cannot do is sin. But nothing else is impossible for God. Nothing. He can move mountains. He can move all circumstances and obstacles that be coming our way. Remember that song said, "I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way." Well, God can move all obstacles out of his way and out of our way as well. We don't have, it's amazing. A lot of times we probably don't even thank God for the obstacles that he's moved out of our way before we got there. They were moved out the way 100 yards right before we turned the corner. It was an obstacle move. It might have been a bullet with your name on it. It might have been death that had your name on it. It might have been a car accident or anything, but God removed it, and we don't even know. Sometimes we're going down the road of life, and we don't have a clue of what God is doing ahead of us, but he has a plan for us, and his plan will not be voided or thwarted. His plan will not be detoured. Sometimes we detour ourselves because of sin, because we get complacent, or we get anxious, and we move ahead of God. And God says, "I told you don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication make your request known." Amen? So we need to be effective prayer students of prayer. We need to be effective children of prayer so that we can be in the will of God and not be running around spiritually schizophrenic. You know what I'm saying? Because, hey, that won't help us. That won't help us. Part two of this, number two, it says the Lord God Almighty invites his people to pray to him. God wants to commune with us. Oh, friends, I've been guilty of this. I told you. I remember telling a brother this back in 2010 or 11. I remember after I had my surgery, I said, brother, I need a prayer partner. I need a prayer partner. We were doing good for a while. I have a couple of prayer partners now, but we was doing real good for a while. But I'm telling you, friends, when me and this brother was praying, and I was going through some things right then and there, I found myself really, really coming into the presence of God and being able to just express myself and be able to share my heart with God. And sometimes I know they probably were silly to the Lord, but guess what? God just wants consistent and faithfulness. He wants us to come before him humble with a contrite heart and express and make our requests known. So we need to be inviting God to coming into the presence of God and not be worried about what do I say? And you talk to him like you would talk to, you talk with respect, of course, but you still talk to him. It's your private time to talk to God. And guess what? The Holy Spirit is going to intercede on our behalf. He's not even going to let prayers that don't make no sense. They're not going to God because God says, hey, the Holy Spirit needs to intercede on our behalf. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for. And a lot of times we're praying for stuff that have nothing to do with the kingdom. I've said that over and over again. I'm going to keep on saying it because there's so many false teachers out here teaching garbage. They're teaching this, you can ask God for whatever you want and forget about what God wants for us. So we need to be praying according to his will. It says again, the Lord God Almighty invites his people to pray to him. Prayer to God should be made persistently. Luke 18:1, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Now, this is where I was guilty, and I'm sure if we all honest, when we're going through something, trials, tribulations, when people are knocking us down, when they come in to attack our character, this is the time a lot of us retreat. And we try to look for answers in the natural realm versus in the spiritual realm. Remember, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, friends. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers of the air, spiritual darkness. And we need to be in prayer when we don't feel like it. This is the time when our prayer needs to be fervent and committed, faithful, and we need to be consistent with it because guess what? The devil wants us to go to the natural versus going to the spiritual realm. He wants us to go looking for humanistic reasons and answers and philosophies of the world. No, this is a time when we need to get in our prayer closet, get on our face before God and say, Lord, I need you. I don't know what to say right now if I don't have nothing to say, but I just say thank you. I just praise your name. I thank you and give you all the glory in the midst of this storm. God will give you what you need to say. He will give you what you need to say. It's not us trying to be awesome, holy, and ritualistic, and we just saying a bunch of stuff because we hear this on TBN and all this other garbage. No, God wants us to come to him like a child, humble, ready, Daddy, I don't know what to say right now, Daddy, but I'm going through. My family is attacking me. My wife is attacked. My children are coming against me. And you know what? I don't know how to deal with it right now, Lord. But you do. What do I need to do, Lord? You come broken. You come humble. This is a time when God wants us even more. Not because we felt like it, because we don't. See, because when you feel like doing something, it's different. But what really opens up is when we come broken, when we come, because we know we don't feel like it. Lord, I really don't feel like talking to you right now. But I know I'm supposed to. I know I need to. This is a time that I need to let me go. I must decrease and you must increase. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, friends, I struggle. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I got this mapped out. I don't. I struggle. And we all need to be honest with ourselves and say, hey, yeah, if I was, you know, if I was going to be put, go to heaven or hell based on my prayer life, some of us honestly would have to say we'd be in the lake of fire burning. But thank God he ain't saved us on our prayers. But we want to be consistent. We want to have a prayer life that God is hearing. We don't want him to be turning his ear away from us. I think it's in Proverbs 28:9 says that here, he who turns his ear away from God, his prayer is abomination. I don't want God to be, I don't want my prayers to be an abomination to God because I don't listen to him. I'm not hearing from him. I'm not getting in his word. And I told you, without the word of God in us on a consistent basis, we cannot pray in the will of God because we're not praying according to his word. You have to have the roadmap to heaven to be able to talk to heaven. Amen. We have to have the roadmap to heaven to be able to commune with the God Almighty. God does not want to talk. He does not want us talking to him like he is a genie in a bottle. He doesn't want us rubbing our Bibles thinking we're going to get some kind of magical Fruit Loops out of it. That's not biblical theology, friends. That's not biblical prayer. We need to be praying. We need to be praying according to his will. And according to his will is always according to his word. Not these throwing up this magical, well, I just throw up a bunch of these and watch God do what he do. No, friends. We need to go before the Lord humble. We need to go before the Lord according to his will. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious. I quoted that. Do not be anxious about anything. It means don't be trying to rush God's word and his will. We want to be in his will. He's the God in the relationship. We are clay. We are dirt. We need to be in his will. The moment we step out of his will, guess what? We're not in his favor. And if we're not in his favor, we don't get his blessings on it because we're out of order. We're out of alignment. It's kind of like being out of formation, out of rank. Remember, the Bible tells us to walk in the spirit so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does that mean? Walk in formation, be in rank. I spent 15 years in the military. Guess what? You didn't go to form. When they marched you somewhere, you were supposed to be in formation. Everybody is dressed right, dressed in formation, and eyes are front ahead. They focus. The problem is with the church today is that we got so many people out of rank. Claiming they teachers of the word, claiming that they Bible scholars, claiming that they theologians, but they don't even, they're not in rank. When he say attention, they over there messing with something, the trash can or something. They doing something other than what God called them to. They out of rank. They anxious for things that are not of God. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, but by everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We're making decisions nowadays, friends, based on our flesh, based on our thinking, based on our emotions, and not based on the word of God, and we're not taking it to God in prayer. People are getting married, they don't pray. People are getting in relationships, business relationships, and all kinds of other relationships, they didn't pray about it. They didn't ask God what he thought about it. They just said, I'm a Christian, I'm okay, I'll just do what I want to do, and God is going to bless my mess. And when God tears it up, when it don't work out the way you want to, then the first, why did that didn't, I don't know why I didn't get. You didn't get what you wanted because God wasn't in it. You never invited him. You never went to him first. I've been here. I'm not telling you something that I don't know. I made these decisions. I made bonehead decisions based on what I what I thought the will of God was instead of going to my knees and asking God what was his will in that situation. And friends, I'm telling you, he says, do not be anxious. That's an imperative. Don't do it. Don't be rushing God. Don't be trying to make God line up with your will and your way, and you just basically kick him out of the scenario altogether. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Remember, he's the one who blesses the prayer. He's the one that says, yes, no, or wait. We're going to him for answer prayer, and he's giving us the answer. A lot of times we don't like the answer. Guess what we do? We want to shake the dice again and kind of say, I don't like that. I'll do it all over again. Oh, no, friends, you don't do that with the Almighty. We don't play games with him. God wants us to be faithful He wants us to be consistent. He says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You come humble. You come broken. You come, thank you, Lord, whatever your will is in this. And we come in faith. He says in James 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. This is wisdom, friends. This is one thing as a believer, as a soldier, as a disciple, as an ambassador of Christ, each and every one of us can have. And wisdom will keep you away from being dumb. Wisdom will keep you away from falling off a cliff. The moment that you don't ask for wisdom, the moment you'll walk off a cliff. Because, see, sheep need their shepherd. Sheep need to follow the great shepherd. They don't need to be following all these other so-called shepherds that don't follow the great shepherd. You only follow your pastor as he's following Christ. Your spiritual leaders are not your God. You seek God, and you seek him for wisdom so that you can know that the man of God is lining up. Your spirit is lining up with their spirit, and guess what? You're on the same page. Yes, he might know more than you, but guess what? He's not God. And so many people are being spiritually, spiritually bullied, pulpit bullied by so-called pastors that basically tell you, if you leave my church, you're leaving the truth. No, friends. No. Let's stop right there. The church is a universal. The church of Jesus Christ is universal and is worldwide. I might not want to sit up under this particular person. Doesn't mean I'm leaving the body of Christ. I might not want to sit up under that man because he has some issues. He need to work out with God. He need to be going before the Lord. But that don't have nothing to do with my walk with God, because there are other pastors that God has anointed. It didn't stop with one. There's no one person that's running the circus, friends. God is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church, I should say. And because he's the head of the church, he's given and equipped other men of God who are more than able to lead you. If you can't sit up under that one particular pastor, find you one that you can. But you never, ever give your full allegiance to anyone over God and the Holy Spirit, and you must pray about everything. Make sure that you are following the truth and not some man walking around quoting scripture but living a lie. Amen? Matthew 6:10 tells us this. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I heard a good exhortation of this the other day. And the kingdom come. Remember, when Christ came down here, the kingdom of God had come. Remember, the kingdom of God was here. God had brought salvation to man. Jesus Christ had come down. John the Baptist had been the forerunner. He had ushered in the kingdom, the Messiah. He basically said, hey, there's one coming whose sandals I'm not even worthy to lace up. And because of Christ, he said, for the kingdom of God has come, calling all men to repent. Friends, when we repent, we can go before the Lord and have a relationship. There's no relationship without repentance. There's no salvation without repentance. There's no justification without repentance. You must live a life that is consistently in line with the will of God and the word of God, and we must have prayer and Bible study to know God's word and know his will. We must have prayer and Bible study. We must not be ignorant of God's word any longer, because our prayers are bouncing off the wall when we're ignorant of God's word. There's a proper way. You don't just look at your Bible and glance at it every five days or every seventh day because, you carry your Bible. It's still as new as it was 20 years ago because you ain't never even opened it up, highlighted it. You don't know. You quoting scriptures, have no understanding of what you're quoting because you're not in prayer. You're not in the Word. You're not in prayer. You're not in the Word. And I'm trying to help us. All of us need this. All of us need to be exhorted and admonished, and some need to be rebuked because they're playing games with God, and this is not the time to play games, friend. Satan is taking another step to capture more souls, and if you're ignorant of your truth, you're ignorant of your word, and you got 20 Bibles around, not to mention Bible on computer, but you're ignorant of the word because you're listening to false teachers, You're listening to faith teachers who claim, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. And they got you looking so much about stuff than they do about the word of God and the will of God. Because they're telling you you're supposed to be rich down here. They're telling you you're supposed to have all this stuff down here. Friend, this world is getting ready to melt. Our government don't care nothing about Christians. As a matter of fact, they're going to put us in jail. You're going to be one of the ones that either sell out or you're going to be taken out. You're going to either stand up for the cross or you're going to find your, you're going to show yourself to be crooked. And a crooked, you can't a crooked cross like the Pope. You ever notice how the Pope's cross is crooked? That's letting you know who he is. He twisted. Oh, yeah, I said it. ain't worried about nobody saying nothing about it either. When you speak the truth in love, amen. John 14:13 says that, hey, this is for the glory of God. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Remember, and I said this, I'm going to keep saying it. God gets no glory, whatsoever out of you getting a Bentley. He gets no glory out of you having a big old house with a white picket fence and a dog named Fluffy. Those are nice things, and there's not nothing wrong with having nice things if you go and work hard and get them. Or if God allows you or truly blesses you, not because you was pursuing after those things, you was pursuing after the heart of God, and you wanted to, your house is not just your house. You said, hey, Lord, if you give me this house, it's a big house. If I had to put homeless people in there and shelter them for a season and to help people on their feet, then I would do all to the glory of God. That would be part of his will. That would bring him glory, helping the homeless, helping the orphans, helping... Helping somebody who's struggling, helping family, people that don't have a relationship, I mean, that need to see the hands and feet of Jesus. You can't be the hands and feet of Jesus. You're living in a mansion behind a gated community, and folks, they in your church, and they say, Pastor, I got kicked out of my house. I don't have no place to stay. I don't have no food. And you tell them, brother, we're just going to pray for you. What? Then James said, if we see a brother in need or sister in need, and we have the means to help them, we don't help them, what kind of faith is that? What kind of relationship with God is that? Oh, see, people want to talk the faith talk, but they have no faith walk. False teachers are good at this. They manipulate the scripture. They take your money, but they ain't going to give you no money, not without checking your financial. Let me see how much money he done tied. I don't see nowhere in scripture that God was doing that. Let me see how much money they gave last week. Let me see how much they gave over the year. Well, brother, we can't help you. You ain't been a... Do you know that there was several, hear me, there was several pastors that refused to bury people in their congregation because the person wasn't paying their tithes? Are you kidding me? What the heck? That is so pharisaical. That is a spiritual wickedness from on high. Are you kidding me? Whose church is it, God's or man's? I was so distraught. The woman couldn't get buried by her pastor because she didn't tithe. That's like saying, I'm not going to love you if you didn't give me no money. That's just what you said. I'm not going to love you. Like Christ told me, the love that Christ showed me on the cross was selfless, and it was he didn't ask me if I wanted him to get on the cross. He did it because he loved me. But you're going to tell me that a preacher who is supposed to be an ambassador for God's church is going to not bury someone in their own congregation because they didn't pay some money? Are you paying for the gospel now? Are you selling the gospel? Ooh, man, that burns me up. But you know what? There's a lot of them out there like this. It's just one of many hundreds or thousands that are doing this. Pimping in the pulpit is big business. Pimping in the pulpit is big business. Your pastor wants a plane. Why he can't fly commercial? I would think you would want to fly commercial because, hey, there's more opportunities to witness to people. What do you need a private plane for? You sit in first class. You got enough money. You sit in first class anywhere you want to go. But guess what? I'm a people person. I like sitting next to folks where I can share the love of Jesus with them. That would be more of an opportunity to witness because you're right there among the people. I need a private plane. For what? Who? When did you become that important? You're more important than the disciples, the apostles. You got a bigger ministry than they do. People just love to, they're basically con artists in the church, pimping in the church. But this is what the Bible says. The Lord God Almighty hears the prayers of his children. His command, he commands us to pray, and he promises promised to listen to us when we do. In my distress, I called to the Lord. This is David. I called to the Lord in my distress. Remember, David was going through great persecution. His son was trying to kill him. Saul was trying to kill him. He had great, there was a great attack on David. But God still was faithful. He heard his prayer. Is he hearing our prayer? Or are we, has he closed his ears because our walk don't line up with our prayer? We're not walking the walk. Therefore, our prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. Let me tell you, friend, this is it. He says, the Lord God Almighty hears the prayers of his children. He commands us to pray, and he promises to listen to us when we do. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. For his temple, from his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. Awesome, awesome. Do you want God's prayers to come into, your prayers to come into God's ears, or is God got a filter? He's pushing your prayers out. In Psalm 17:6, he says, the Lord God Almighty answers prayer. I call on you, oh God, for you will answer me. See, God is not answering just anybody. Don't think you can just send up blank prayers. You live in a wicked life. You live in a foul life. You live in a hypocritical life. You think God hears you. Only prayer he wants to hear is a prayer of repentance. Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me. I've sinned and violated your truth. Lord, help me. I am living a lie. I don't want to do what I do no more. But I know I'm enslaved to my sin, and until you rescue me and deliver me and take me away from sin, I will still be a slave to sin. How about that? But if you live, you can't live a double agent. Oh, I'm an adulterer. I'm a fornicator. Oh, I'm bi. I'm homosexual. I'm living this double agent life thinking that God hears my prayer. Hear what he says. Psalm 34. Remember, the Bible says none are righteous. Oh, yes, none in ourselves. None of us have done anything that pleases God that's good enough to get us into heaven on our own merit. But he says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Hallelujah. We're going to close off with that one right there. When the righteous cry for help, are you crying for help? Do you know that you, are you righteous or are you of the devil? Are you a child of God or a child of the devil? You can't have it both ways. Some of us might be on the kind of like that prodigal right now, and you know that what you've been doing is wrong. You know that in your heart of hearts. When it's just you and God, your conscience is bearing witness that you are out of order with God. But guess what? He still loves you. He still wants you to come home, just like the prodigal child. He still wants you to come back to him. He said, come home, my son, I love you. And he's ready to embrace you, but he's not going to embrace you in your sin. He's not going to coddle you in your sin. He's not going to stroke you in your sin. God says, no, it's either me or sin. Our prayers are hindered because of sin. Our prayers are hindered when we don't believe God's word and walk in his statutes and walk upright in his statutes and precepts and obey his truth. But God has given us the Holy Spirit for the believer. The believer can do what God has called him and commanded him to do, him or her to do, when we surrender our will for his will. When we're on our face before God in prayer, consistent prayer, and laying ourselves open and naked and bare, and we say, Lord, show me who I am. Show me my heart. Because I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be led astray. Do you know that Satan will give you what you pray for? Because especially if he know you plan the fence, he'll give you the desires of your heart when your heart is wicked and deceitful and wretched. Yes, he will. He loves to reward bad children that go against anything that's going to take you away from God. Satan is trying to take you there to it. Anything that's going to get you out of the will of God, Satan will give you a word, a lying word, a word that will discourage you from truth. I don't want you to read your Bible. Just listen, bro. Listen, I got you. You don't need to read that Bible today. Not today, man. Come on, man. We're going to go have some fun, man. Come on, I got a word for you. Come on, I'm going to show you some things. Hey, don't you know I own all this over here? It's my stuff. Hey, you come on over here. Come on, I got some. What you like? You like a little smoke? You like a little drink? I don't worry about it. You just ask God to forgive you. He'll forgive me, God. He'll give you whatever. You want to hang out with some ladies? Maybe you want to hang out with some men. Whatever. I got you. You just ask God to forgive you. He keep forgiving 70 times 7. You know, you just keep living whatever. See, this is the lie that Satan will tell us. Because he loves to deceive. He's a liar and the father of lies. Stop hobnobbing and shaking hands with the devil. Stop being bamboozled by the devil. Stop being played. You're being played because you're not in your Bible. You're not resisting the devil. You're being played because you're not putting on the full armor of God. And that's why you're walking around naked and Satan is shooting lying arrows at you. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. He got you. You're walking around like a porcupine. You don't even know it. That's how bad you deceived. But today you can be free, friends. In my closing, today you can be free and you can come home. If you're a prodigal child like I was 7, 8 years ago, you can come home. If you're one of those that never has trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Master and Ruler of your life, and you keep on living this life down here for yourself, for the devil, for your flesh, and you just having one big old party, but you know you're empty. You know it's not satisfying. It's not a Snickers bar, friends. It's not. It keeps on. You keep on doing the same thing over and over again, thinking you're going to get a different result. That's insanity. Some people are always trying to ice skate uphill. Friends, today you can be free, though. Today you can come home. You can come to the Father. You can come back to the Father. Or you can come to him for the first time, and you can have a prayer life that God hears. You can have a study, an application of God's word, that you can apply God's word and watch God's word change and transform your life forever. I'm not promising you health, wealth, and prosperity down here, but I am promising you all of that and more in heaven. One day we're going to leave here. One day God is going to call his church up out of here. By death or rapture, I'm going to leave here. And all I want to hear him say is, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Not depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Not depart from me into the everlasting pit of darkness. I don't want to hear God tell me that. He's not going to tell me that because I believe his word, and I know that by prayer and by application of his word, I can be growing and maturing, and I can be faithful, and I can encourage others to do that. So what are we going to do today? If you have not had if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm going to put it out here. You can contact me personally, 713-538-4936. Contact me personally. I'll be at work tonight from 5 to 5. And I want you to talk to me about getting your relationship right with God. If you're a prodigal that might have walked away from God, today is the day. And that's not just for the night. That's any time. I do this not because I'm getting paid, but because God has already paid me so much more than I can ever ask for. I don't care if I ever get a house again. I don't care if I ever get the things down here. Only thing I'm concerned about is souls. People coming to faith in Jesus Christ and being discipled and making disciples. So if you don't have a personal relationship, you don't want to leave. You don't want to go to sleep tonight without knowing him. You don't want to go to sleep without making things right with him. It's just like if you was in a marriage and you separated. You might be separated from God right now because the covenant is broken. You're out of fellowship. You've been committing spiritual adultery on God, and God is saying, I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter. You can come home. All you got to do is come, repent. I'm more than welcome. I'm more than happy to take you back. But you got to leave your sin out there. You got to leave your sin out there and come home. Come home naked. Come home broken. Come home with a contrite heart. That's what David did. That's what David did. And many others in the Bible. So today could be the brand new day. A brand new day of restoration or a brand new day of regeneration. Either way, it's up to you. I want you to come home, but God wants you to come home right now. I love you, but God loves you more. He died for you. He sent his son to pay the ultimate price for your sin and my sin. Jesus, who knew no sin, went to Calvary's cross, carrying his cross, carried your sin and my sin on his back. And now he wants to have a relationship with you. He doesn't want you to die and go to hell. He doesn't want you to be lost for all eternity. But you must die to yourself, pick up your cross, and be ready to follow him. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for using me as your vessel and speaking through me, Lord. I am so unworthy, Lord. I'm so unworthy, but you are my rock and my refuge. You are a strong tower. Lord Jesus, I call upon you right now and thank you, Lord God. May this message touch many today. May this message encourage. May it build up the body of Christ. May it bring people back to a love for prayer. May prayer be not only, may it be our passion that it would become our priority. May the word of God, studying God's word, may it be a passion that it may become a priority. And today, the 30-30-30 family, the 30-30-30 fellowship, the 30-30-30 ministry, Lord God, may it grow wings, Lord, and take off, not just in America, Lord, not just in California, not just in Inglewood, Lord, but may it take off and go across the world, Lord, touching souls and calling people to pray. Study your word. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We praise your name, Lord, because you are worthy to be praised. And we thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' mighty name, we say amen. Friends, continue to pray for Israel. Continue to pray for our nation. We are living in some dark times, but guess what? I'm encouraged, not only because the word of God says don't lose heart and don't faint, but prayer. You know, pray without ceasing. We need to pray without ceasing and be consistent about that. We're not going to win any wars, friends. Christians are not going to win any wars on the battlefield with human weaponry. We're going to win the war on our face before God in our prayer closets, continuously praying, consistently praying, faithfully praying, fervently praying. We need to be committed to prayer and study of God's word so we can realize and know that we have all the tools of God's arsenal, all the weapons of God's arsenal. You know how we've seen those war movies or Sylvester Stallone movies, and you know we've seen him going to open up all these different or different movies where you see them open up a case and they got all these weapons and stuff. Guess what? God's weapon, his closet of weapon is mighty. And guess what? He ain't got but a few things, but those few things are powerful for bringing down strongholds. Amen. For bringing down the forces of darkness. For causing the devil to flee. We have everything that we need to live godly, friends. We have everything we need to be successful and be triumphant. Hallelujah. We do. You just got to believe it, walk by faith, and be consistent in your endeavors to pursue after holiness and righteousness. That goes for me too, especially me. And I'm going to encourage each and every one of us every week to do that. This 30-30-30 is not just a something I'm doing for the month of November. This is lifetime for me, baby. 30-30-30, that's the new movement. 30 minutes in God's word in prayer, 30 minutes, that's minimum. You're not limited to that, but I want us to be consistent with the 30 so that we can move forward and be consistent throughout the day. It's a matter of making it a habit. This is one of the best habits you want to have. Prayer and getting in God's word for the next 30 days. Hey, I'm your host, Minister Daryl Kendrick. You can follow me on Facebook, Daryl Kendrick. You can follow me. You can call me, 713-538-4936. You can also catch me on Pinterest, Minister Daryl Kendrick on Pinterest. Look at my boards up there. We all promoting the cross of Christ always. You can catch me on Google Plus at Minister Daryl Kendrick as well. Hey, catch me on my email address is dkendricksr@gmail.com. Hey, I am here for you. I pray to God that you appreciate what God is doing and using me, this ministry. If you're being blessed by it, please share the information with others. We're not charging anybody for it. We might one day open up a PayPal account for those that want to support us, but I'm just here to serve God's people. And praise God for him allowing me to do that. Hey, you have a blessed day. I'm your host, Minister Daryl Kendrick. Be blessed and be in prayer. God bless.